Hare Krishna. Yes, translation also. Going on. I am profoundly grateful to be back with you, Sri Sri Radha Kunja Bihari, Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra Temple in Pune. Seeing how over the past few years, the properties, the temples, the devotees, the seva, how everything is increasing, expanding. It's truly a miracle of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya's grace. Otherwise, it is not possible. Each and every one of you has been a recipient of that grace and very much an instrument of giving that grace to others. For this, I am deeply grateful. Thank you. Thank you, Radhe Shyam Prabhu, for your kind and generous words of introduction. And again, my sincerest gratitude to all of you. Srila Prabhupada came to Pune many years ago. He cast his merciful glance upon the city and all the inhabitants of the city for all time to come. And we know the story how Karunodakshayi Mahavishnu, he cast his glance upon the Mahatattva and all living beings awakened to consciousness, and that is how the creation began. So the representative of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada, who had descended from Krishna's eternal abode, his merciful glance, the incredible power of his words awaken the seed of bhakti within so many hearts. The parampara is when we who receive that blessing, that grace, share it with others. It is never our own. Srila Prabhupada taught us by his own character. Acharya teaches by words and example. We know the enormous struggle Srila Prabhupada endured to give us the path of bhakti, to give us Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And we know the incredible historical success of what he had accomplished. But he never took credit. He always proclaimed that it was the mercy of his Guru Maharaj. he gave credit to the previous acharyas who manifested especially to him through his Guru Maharaj Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And he gave credit to all those who came forward to help him. People from various places in this world, from India, from the north, the south, the east, the west, various continents. Those who dedicated themselves, even with whatever samskaras they had, to try to assist him. Srila Prabhupada very personally and collectively gave credit to them. And how did he explain it? He said, "You are all representatives of my Guru Maharaj." That means the flow of parampara. He received it, he shared it, and how much he was appreciating those who were assisting him. It's like a mother who's feeding a helpless baby and that gives credit to the baby for the livelihood of the family. Doesn't sound realistic, but that's the nature of gratitude, that's the nature of love. Srila Prabhupada spoon-fed us Krishna consciousness, and then he thanked us for receiving it and for helping him to give it to others. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it's not just a physical community, but it's a community of devotees who receive this spirit that Srila Prabhupada taught us. Srila Prabhupada asked us to do two things. Just receive what I'm giving you and share it with others. It sounds simple, and it is simple. But still, there's so many distractions, so many temptations, so many fears in this world trying to divert our attention. To receive what Prabhupada is giving us means to hear it, to understand it, and to apply it to our life. The chanting of the holy names, the following of these moral regulative principles, to actually live with the character of a Vaishnav. In many ways, it's to swim against the current of the river of material existence in this age of Kali. People are considered heroic by their power, by their money, by their greed, by their selfishness. To actually understand and realize and put into life the principle of Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Nitya Das. I am not this body, I am not this mind. I'm living in this body and mind. I am the eternal soul, the spiritual spark, part and parcel of Krishna. My eternal nitya dharma, my true nature, is
Svabhava.
Is I am eternally a servant of Krishna. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yopididati kaman. The one supreme truth is Krishna. And all other eternals, the vibhinamsa, the jivas, we are always subordinate to Krishna. We are never the Lord, the enjoyer, the proprietor, or controller. Our nature is subordination to the Supreme Krishna. And the nature of that service, the truest nature of the self, is to love Krishna. That love of the soul for God, as we sincerely aspire to love Krishna, yega tamam prapadyante tamstatai vajamyam. Krishna reciprocally reveals his love to us. When we experience Krishna's love, then there is no other purpose, no other greater meaning or happiness in life than just giving Krishna our love and sharing that love. That was the spirit that our acharyas wrote so many books, endured so many hardships to reach other people's lives. Srila Prabhupada, our founder acharya, this was his spirit. Staying up so late, every waking up early mornings, writing books, traveling around the world, just sharing that love. Krishna's love. It is necessary that we completely humble ourselves. Humility that has courage, that at times requires boldness. Humility that embodies determination, but without ego, without desire for self-gain, but with the desire, samsadhir hari toshanam, to please Krishna. Mach chita mat gata parana bodhayanta parasparam katiyantas chamam nityam toshanti charamanti char. When we surely take shelter of Krishna, surrender to Krishna, then our joy in life is to discuss Krishna among each other. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoviti Tattvata Tyaktva Deham Punarajanma Naiti Mameti Sorjuna. One who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's activities and birth within this world never takes birth again, but attains my abode. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. Krishna comes to annihilate the miscreants, to protect the pious, to establish true principles of dharma again and again. Just once in a day of Brahma, which is time beyond our ability to calculate.
billions of years. The Supreme Absolute Truth, the Paramatma within the heart of every living being, the source of the eternal Brahman, the Brahma Jyoti, the source of all incarnations, comes in his original full form of Sri Krishna to reveal his most intimate pastimes. Krishna. And when he performed his wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka, it wasn't just for the people of that place and time. Because Krishna is transcendental. When we speak about Krishna by repeating his instructions, by describing his qualities, by narrating his pastimes and hearing about them, we are with Krishna. Krishna is non-different than the message, Harikatha. So in this way, when he appeared over 5,000 years ago as the son of Vasudev Devaki, Nanda Yashoda, he established these pastimes which are meant to be heard and repeated and meditated upon and prayed to. Shushusho shatatanasya vasudeva kataruchi sanmaya san, that one who shrimpatam sukata Krishna, one who hears and develops a taste for hearing about Krishna. Krishna is so pleased, he purifies from within our heart all the anartas. The anartas that are impossible for us to erase. Krishna takes charge. When we truly develop a taste for hearing about him, and then in the next verse it tells that we develop that taste by serving the great souls. The process of hearing and chanting is only pleasing to Krishna when we have this service attitude. Today is Friday. In just 4 days is Janmashtami. So tonight, let us remember Krishna to prepare our consciousness. Krishna was born simultaneously in Mathura to Vasudev and Devaki in the prison house of Kamsa, and to Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj in the beautiful forest pastures of Gokul Mahavan. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, Vasudev, on the very night of Krishna's appearance, on Krishna's instruction, brought him across the Yamuna River to reside in Sri Gokul. And there is a little baby, the Supreme Absolute, the truth, the personality of Godhead, the source of everything that exists, reciprocated love with his devotees. At one time, when he was just a little child, along with Balaram and the other gopas. He was very fond of stealing butter, yogurt from the dahi, from the homes of the Brijabasis. The cowherd ladies, the elder gopis, would complain to Yashoda Mai that your son Krishna and Balaram, they do so much mischief. They would stage dramatic performances in the way they would steal the butter. Because Krishna doesn't need butter. He's not hungry for butter. He's Atmarama. He's hungry for the love of his devotees. And he performs his pastimes in Vrindavan in such a way that everything he does is increasing the love of his devotees. At every moment, their love is increasing. We see how a tiny little jivatma with a tiny little material intelligence can create so much technology and computers and cellular phones and architectures and temples and homes and buildings, and write so many books and philosophies, and novels and entertainment, and so many things. Krishna is the source of all intelligence. He's the source of all creativity. We hear about Krishna stealing butter, different things he would do. Sometimes the gopis, they would complain, we hide our butter so that Krishna can't find it. But still he finds it. And somehow or other, if momentarily he can't, then he passes urine on our floor. Five 5,000 years later, we're still relishing this pastime. How many times have you passed urine? Or me. Nobody cares. In fact, if you start telling people about it, they'll be disgusted. Krishna one time did. And the gopis, all over Vrindavan, they were discussing. And 5,000 years later, and through all these millenniums, devotees have been discussing. Some with tears of ecstatic love. Some attain the ultimate liberation just by hearing about this. That is Krishna. And when Yashoda Mai said to gopis, then I will keep Krishna home. I will make sure he doesn't go out. No, 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 they said, don't do that. Because we only live for Krishna to come to our house to steal our butter. We only make the butter with the anticipation Krishna will come to steal it. And just see how Krishna right now, he's looking so innocent, like whatever we're saying is not true. But the truth is, while he's pretending to be so innocent, at this moment he's plotting the next time he's going to steal our butter. On the day of Diwali, Krishna stole Yashoda Mai's butter and made so many messes in the house. Yashoda Mai tied up Krishna with rope, tied it to the grinding mortar, wooden grinding mortar. It's used to grind spices. And Krishna, when Yashoda Mai was not around, he pulled the grinding mortar between two gigantic trees and just
gently was crawling and pulled. The grounding mortar was stuck between the trees and he pulled a little more.
The trees cracked.
Fell to the ground. Made the whole earth shake. And everyone in Vrindavan, what is that? They came running to the scene and they see these massive Arjuna trees laying on both sides of Krishna, just inches away on either side of his little soft baby body. And he's smiling. What happened? How is it possible this happened? And the little boys, the cowherd boys, Krishna's friends, they said exactly what happened. That Krishna pulled the grinding mortar, those trees broke, and then these incredible people came out of, two people came out of the two trees and started offering prayers to Krishna. But they could, the older gopas and gopis, they could not believe this. For them, because Krishna is so innocent and pure, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, must be protecting him. Just see the beauty of Krishna's pastimes. How he accepts such a apparently vulnerable human form. In this world, Krishna, mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam, he tells in Gita, he's the power behind material energy. This is his Shakti. He's the Shaktiman. Everyone is bound by the ropes of the gunas. Sattva-guna, Raja-guna, Tama-guna. Goodness, passion, ignorance. They're compared to ropes. In fact, sometimes guna is translated as rope. How people are totally bound up. Human beings, all 8,400,000 species of life throughout the universe. Whether we're vegetables or trees, whether little bacterias or ants or snakes or fish, we're all forms of animals and every type of human being, a demigod. Everyone is tightly bound by these ropes, these gunas, of goodness, passion, and ignorance. In Kali Yuga, especially, people are bound up by ignorance and passion. And we see how even when we become devotees, we're trying to overcome them. Still, they keep pulling upon us. So bound up. So Krishna's binding the whole creation with the ropes of nature. And hardly anyone could get out. Manushyanam sahasrishu kashchid yadati shidaye. But yet Krishna himself, the source of everything, he's bound up by the ropes of the love of Yashoda. And he couldn't get out. He was so bound by the ropes of his motherly love. He pulled the grinding mortar. He knocked down the trees, but he was still bound. It was really a very dramatic way of getting Nanda Maharaj's attention. And finally, when he came, he untied the rope and freed Krishna. This is Vrindavan.
Vrindavan is the land where Krishna is subordinate to the love of his devotees. And sometimes gopis would tell Krishna, if you dance, we will give you one half of a sweetmeat. And they would be smiling. Then they'd clap their hands. Krishna was just a little child. He had just done this Damodar Leela. And they're clapping and they're singing. And Krishna's smiling and they're smiling. They say, we will give you extra sweetmeats. Just dance, Krishna, dance. And then Krishna dances. They ask him to sing. And Krishna sings. Srimad Bhagavatam explains that Krishna was like a wooden puppet doll being pulled by the strings of the gopis and dancing. Have you seen puppets dance? Krishna, Shukadev Goswami Vyasadeva says Krishna was like that. He was a little puppet in the hands of his devotees, dancing and dancing and dancing, just to give them happiness. The whole material energy is keeping practically all living beings dancing on the ropes of lust, selfish desires, anger, greed, envy, arrogance, illusion. Everyone's dancing to the strings of these influences, helplessly dancing like wooden puppets. But Krishna's dancing for gopis like a wooden puppet, dancing to the tune of their love. And Srila Prabhupada, when he was Manjala Duta, he was approaching 70 years old. He had just had these heart attacks, seasickness. He had been on ship for about 36 days at the time. And he wrote that beautiful poem. And this Jaladutta prayers, you know, it wasn't something that was meant to be at that time in his intention, you know, published for everyone in the world to hear. Because there was no one who was even listening to him at that time. It was just a personal, intimate prayer to Krishna. And Krishna's being prayed to by Srila Prabhupada, please make me a wooden puppet to dance to your desire. Make me dance as you wish for me to dance. Why have you taken me to this strange, horrible place of the West? Consumed by passion and ignorance. How will anyone understand my message? It's only by your grace, Krishna. Please make me dance as you want me to dance. This is bhakti. The whole world is dancing to the dictations of Maya. And a devotee is surrendering his heart or her heart with love and devotion to dance according to Krishna's desire. And in reciprocation, Krishna is dancing to the desire of the devotees. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he established this Sankirtan, which is based around chanting and dancing. Where together we are all like little puppets dancing for Krishna's pleasure, who has appeared within the holy names.
And in Vrindavan, Krishna's dancing as a wooden puppet to the love of his devotees, the gopis. In Srila Prabhupada's journey, how he danced. Yadubar Prabhu and Vishakha Devi and their family and team of devotees has just released a film about Srila Prabhupada. Hopefully it will soon come to India. But it was released at cinema theaters throughout America. Just recently, in New York City, it was in a theater for about 1 week on 2nd Avenue, just some blocks from 26 2nd Avenue. In 1966, Srila Prabhupada just started a little temple in a storefront. There was only a couple people who were taking a little interest. And now just down the block, his whole life of all the magnificent, merciful accomplishments on behalf of Krishna is being shown to the public on a huge screen of a cinema theater. And it was released. It got first place award in a film festival. In the premiere showing in Los Angeles at a very famous theater in Santa Monica, I had the great fortune of attending. On one side of me was Yadubar Prabhu in the seat I was in. Next to him was Vishakha Devi. On the left of me was Shamsundar Prabhu, one of the first devotees. And right next to him was His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. And in front of us was a very, very famous Hollywood television and movie producers. And the whole theater was filled with so many important people of society and so many devotees. It was really incredible. Just seeing the footage of Srila Prabhupada and hearing the devotees who were there with him in those different times of his pastimes narrating their what they observed, what they felt. But it was really, I don't think it was ever in the history of the world where people could see Srila Prabhupada on such a gigantic screen for about 2 hours. And myself and surely everyone who was there, we had this experience. We felt Srila Prabhupada's presence, his personal, immediate presence in our lives in such an intimate and powerful way. Sitting in a dark theater with this giant screen, and Srila Prabhupada's singing and speaking and dancing and walking and talking. Very special. But by his example, he taught us whatever happened, Srila Prabhupada was so faithful to the mission of the compassion that he was. matras parashas tukon teyasitos nasukadukada agama payano nityas tamstatikshas vaparata.
The Bhagavad Gita tells the non-permanent appearance and disappearance and happiness and distress. They're like the winter and summer seasons. They come and they go. One should learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. And Srila Prabhupada gave by his explanation and through his life and through those who love him, their lives, this essential instruction. And in Bhagavad Gita, he tells, in the winter season of January, in a place like Vrindavan, it's very cold, but still we rise to take our bath early in the morning. And during the summer season, even here in Pune, during May and June, it's very hot, but still the mother cooks over fire for her family. This is the principle of duty, dharma, that we remain faithful to Krishna, we remain faithful to Krishna's mission, whatever happiness or distress, pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor, success, failure, we carry on with our service. That's the symptom of love. Tolerating difficult situations doesn't mean we don't feel difficulty or pain. It means we carry on with the integrity of Vaishnavas. We carry on with our vows for our sadhana and the life and the mission of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. And how Srila Prabhupada exemplified that. That's the spirit which attracts Krishna. That's the spirit that Krishna is willing to subordinate himself eternally to that love. One day, while in Gokul Mahaban, this lady, she was just from a tribal background, obviously no education. She would collect fruits in the forest and she would try to sell them. So she came to Gokul and she called out, does anyone in Braj Bhumi, does anyone here in Gokul desire fruit? I am having fruit. Gopal, he had seen how his mother and other gopis, they would give some grains or some milk and trade it for other articles. So Krishna picked up a handful of grains. He was just a small little child. He came running with those grains, and the grains were falling out of his, from outside of his fingers, from in between his fingers. And ultimately, he just had a few grains in his hands. And he smiled at this lady. Said, please give me grains. I mean, please give me fruit. She was so charmed by Krishna. She just wanted to make Krishna happy. She filled his hands and his arms with as many fruits as he could carry. Krishna was so pleased with her. He smiled. That was enough for her. Getting Krishna's smile, pleasing Krishna. Her heart was exploding with the ecstatic feeling of love. And then Krishna ran off with the fruits. And her basket
was filled with jewels and gold, silver, most precious jewels. According to Sri Jiva Goswami, she got so much happiness giving Krishna fruits, unconditionally for nothing, because the couple grains that were in his hands were worth nothing. She wanted to go back in the forest to collect more fruits to bring to Krishna. So she picked up the basket. She didn't even notice there was jewels in them. She was too enthusiastic to serve. She went, she collected more fruits. She went to put them in the basket. She saw it was filled with rubies and diamonds and emeralds. She wanted to get these fruits to Krishna as soon as possible, so she just took the... There was no room for the fruits in the basket. She just dumped it out as it was worthless trash and put the fruits in the basket in the place and then left that behind forever and ran to Krishna. Krishna, I brought more fruits to you. And Krishna came running out to receive them. He was so happy. She attained the Purushartha Siromani, the crown jewel of the highest goal of life. She attained love for Krishna. Premadhan. She was given the wealth of love. She was happy ever after. She attained the perfection of life just by giving some fruits to Krishna. And Krishna liked those fruits so much, he brought them back home. And Yashodamai said, where did you get all these fruits? He said, this tribal lady, someone, she came, I bought them. Yashodamai was very worried, as any mother would be. You should not be mixing with strangers. Not everyone is like your family. Krishna said, what does it mean to be a stranger? I don't understand that word. He's in the heart of all living beings. No one is a stranger to Krishna. And then Krishna wanted to share the fruits. He said to Mother Yashoda, let us give these fruits out to all the Brijavasis, the gopas, the gopis. Yashodamai said, all right, we will do it. She went out and she called the gopis and would give fruits, and Krishna would give to Yashoda, and she would give to the gopis and gopas, and Krishna would give more. She was giving out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fruits. There was no end to the fruits. She was in great wonder. How is it Krishna keeps giving me fruits? He only brought back two armfuls. But Krishna, those fruits represent the love of that lady devotee. And his greatest pleasure was to share them with all of his devotees. And he made her simple little gesture of love, he made it unlimited. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he proclaimed himself to be a fruit vendor. He said, I have so many fruits. How many can I distribute with these two hands? Whoever is my devotee, I request you to help me to distribute these fruits. And what is the fruit? The fruit of prema bhakti. The fruit of love for Krishna. That was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. The panchatattva. They broke open the storehouse of love of God. And they tasted it. And as they tasted it, they were chanting and dancing in great anand. And then they were distributing the contents, distributing those fruits of love of God. And they did not consider who was fit or who was unfit, which place was appropriate and which place was inappropriate. Whoever was willing to receive it, they were giving. That is the pastime of Krishna in his most magnificent, munificent incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By our acharyas and our beloved founder acharya Srila Prabhupada's divine grace, we're all being given a chance to participate in these pastimes. By these wonderful temple activities, by our deity worship, by our prasad distribution, our book distribution, our Harinam Sankirtan, our ISKCON Youth Forum, and our congregation, every aspect of our community here in Pune is just tasting the fruits of love of Godhead and distributing to others. But matra sparshastukonteya, we may not feel it, we may not taste it immediately. There may be troubles in our life. But for Krishna's pleasure, we continue. Srila Prabhupada explained to us that to get love for Krishna is such a supreme form of liberation. To get some mystic powers, yogis have to do tapasya for many, many, many births. Related to heavenly planets, one has to do pious deeds for many, many, many births. To get liberation, one has to practice the principles of cultivation of knowledge and detachment for many, many births. But all of these things, the happiness that they give is not even a drop compared to the ocean of Krishna Prema. This is Rupa Goswami's teaching. The Sankirtan is great benediction. And even if we're not experiencing it directly after 1 or 2 years or 10 or 20 years or 30 or 40 years, just if we're faithful to the process, even if it takes our whole life, even if it's given at the time of our death, well, we may taste it tomorrow or today. Or even if it, Mukunda Dutt in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, he was eagerly grateful if it took 10 million births. That was Mukunda Dutt's realization. To see Krishna, to see Lord Chaitanya, to love Lord Chaitanya is such a benediction. It's not a cheap thing. If I could get it after 10 million births, I will totally surrender my life to those 10 million births gratefully. Because it's such a great thing. And it's given so simply and so cheaply comparatively to its value. Someone gives you a house that's worth 1,000 crores for 100 rupees. It's cheap. But if you only have 2 rupees and it takes your whole life to somehow or other get that 100 rupees, we shouldn't think, why is it so expensive? Such a good fortune. So these are the fruits of love of Krishna. I was just listening to a recorded morning walk of Srila Prabhupada. I think it's time to end. I'll continue tomorrow morning, but I'll just speak about what Prabhupada shared with us. When he was a little child, growing up in Kolkata, his father, Gaur Mohan Day, all of his life, his father would always give him a simple lesson that when Krishna wants to give to you, he gives with 10 hands. And you only have 2 hands to receive it. When Krishna wants to take away from you, he takes with 10 hands. And you only have 2 hands to try to protect it. So Srila Prabhupada was telling the devotees that that's exactly what happened in his life. In 1922, he met his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, and he received this message that you should take the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the whole world in the English language. And Srila Prabhupada at that moment made that order his life and soul. But he said he was thinking, because he was a householder then and he was involved in maintaining his family. He was involved in the pharmaceutical business. He was thinking, if I make lots of money, then I could really facilitate, you know, so many devotees to preach Krishna consciousness. So he was working so hard, and it was all maintaining his family, but mainly so that he could really make a lot, so he could use it for Krishna. But after many years of struggling and striving, Krishna took everything away. His whole business was a total failure. He said, just like my father said, Krishna took it away with 10 hands and with my 2 little hands. And Krishna's 10 hands are very big hands. And we have tiny little hands. Krishna took it all away and there was nothing I could do. He said, when I came here to New York to try to continue doing my guru's service, I was a beggar with nothing. And then Krishna, he gave with 10 hands. And I only had 2 little hands to receive it. From a beggar walking alone through the ghettos of New York City. From a single little person. He said when he was on the Jaladuta, when there was massive storms, all you could see on all sides around was just the ocean. And the boat is flying in one direction and another direction. The waves are picking it up and slamming it down. He said it was like a little matchbox in the middle of the ocean, completely dependent on Krishna. And Prabhupada said the Titanic was the most modern, indestructible ship ever made by human society. In its first voyage, it was destroyed. 1,000 people died. Compared to Titanic, what was the Jaladuta? Little cargo ship, old cargo ship. So from that, when Krishna, this morning walk was 1976 in Mayapur. Now Srila Prabhupada, he had the biggest publishing house of books of the Vedas, the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, in the history of humanity. More books had been distributed of the Bhagavad Gita than ever before. We had over 100 temples, and thousands of completely dedicated devotees. Krishna giving. But Srila Prabhupada, he just continued to give these fruits of love of God. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. If one offers Krishna even a little fruit, a leaf, little water, or a flower, with devotion, Krishna accepts it. And it's if it's offered with love, Krishna's forever indebted. He's Lakshminath, the husband of the goddess of fortune. But he's conquered by the love of a devotee. Just above us is Radha, Vrindavan, Chandra. They have appeared in these most beautiful, merciful forms. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are dancing. And they're inviting us to dance with them and enter. And in doing so, in course of time, we will realize, we will understand that we are entering into the eternal pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. So these are a few thoughts to reflect upon as we approach the holy day of Janmashtami. I thank you very much.